Grace, mercy, and peace to you this morning from God our Father, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who calls us into worship. Back in my Sunday school days, I always loved the Sunday school song that says, "This Little Light of Mine." And we often sang this song when we gather in Sunday school, and it was such a joy to, you know, sing it. I didn't know what I was singing. I just liked the tune of the song. It was not until later on, as I got older, when I realized that we are truly little lights that have been placed in this world. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus uses two powerful metaphors to describe who we are. He calls us both salt and light. Both of these substances are valuable and useful. However, different in the way they approach their respective functions. For instance, salt is hidden and light is obvious. Salt works secretly and light works openly. Salt works within and light works without. So, when our Lord Jesus calls us salt and light, He is telling us that we are left in this world to influence it for the gospel or the glory of God, to make it livable, to make it lovable, to make it workable or viable. What this means is we, as the church, are on a mission on the earth. The reason why the church still exists here on the earth is because we are on a mission on this earth. And the mission that we are on is the mission of God. And since it is the mission of God, God places inside of us this light that we need to go out into the world with to show forth His glory. And this is so important. This means that we need the opportunity to go out and find the less fortunate and tell them about the grace of God by our actions, by the things we do. So, yes, you may be feeling a little down and lowly this morning, or unloved this morning, lifeless or impossible this morning. Whatever your situation is this morning, the reality is this. What we see in us is not what God sees when He sees us. In other words, God has placed inside of us so much goodness, so much of His grace, that we have enough to be everything that God wants us to become. So when we look at ourselves and begin to describe ourselves by the situation we are going through, or by the way we feel at this very moment, it doesn't negate the fact that inside of us have been deposited so much grace, so much blessings, so much love to impact the world out there. So God has called us with such great honor. Today I want to zero in on this light that God has given to you and to me. First of all, as I begin looking more closely at this, then it dawned on me that when God came and saw you and me the first time, it was like it was when He visited the earth for the first time. And then He put light in it. All right, when God visited the earth the first time, they had no looks. And as a matter of fact, Genesis gave us a description of what the earth looked like. It was void and empty and dark. He had nothing. And so the first thing God did was let there be light. And as light came, he began to see the condition of the earth even clearer. And then through that, he started to make it and mold it and fashion it into what he wanted it to become. It's the same thing God did with you and me. When he baptized us into the faith, when he called us into faith and we became born again Christians, God first said, "Let there be light." And inside of you and me, and every person that has been born of God, has this light in us. And it is the light that carries us. It's the light that leads us. It's the light that shines in the darkness that the darkness is not able to comprehend. So he put this light in us. So let me point out a few truths from the passage as I try to preach about this little light of mine. First thing I want to look at is the power of this light. In Matthew, look in Matthew 5, verse 14. It says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." Now, first of all, I paraphrased this verse to be saying, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." And the reason why I did that is because if you go back in verses 1 and 2 of Matthew 5, it is where this whole conversation started with Jesus Christ as he preached the Beatitude to his followers on the Mount. And it says he opened up his mouth and said, and through that we come all the way down to verse 14 where he is still saying or speaking. And so Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." In other words, what this means is that God spoke it. God declared it. God commanded it to you and to me. It has nothing to do with how we feel right now. It has to do with the truth. And the truth is that God commanded us and demanded us and that we are the light of the world. So it has nothing to do with how we feel. But God has said it and it settles it. In other words, that means that since God has spoken it, we are the light of the world. Light is an amazing thing, folks. Even though it does not have physical properties, it can have amazing effect on physical objects. And this is the kind of effect that God wants us to have in the world today. The next thing about light is light conquers darkness. Light conquers darkness. All right. And however, wherever there is the least bit of light, darkness is forced to flee. All right. So the same is true in the spiritual realm that we find ourselves talking about. There is a realm, a spiritual realm of darkness out here that we cannot see. And over and again in the scripture, it talks about how men are walking in darkness or we're stumbling in darkness. And then the light has come, Jesus Christ. And he takes that light and places it into each of us so that we can shine in this darkness. And what is that light? The same is true in the scripture, in the spiritual realm. Look in Psalm 119, verse 131. It says, "The unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." That the word of God gives that light to us. And it gives understanding to the simple. It makes you and I to say, "I was blind, but now I can see. I didn't understand it, but now I understand it." It gives us an understanding, a broader perspective of the realm and the world in which we live. And so this is what the word of God does. And look what it says in Psalm 119, again, verse 105. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So the Word of God leads and directs us in every step of the way. So we need God's Word because it is the light, it is the lamp that we need and the light that we need to walk in darkness. Without the light of God, the Word of God, we won't be able to understand spiritual things. We won't be able to see in that path of darkness. The scripture describes Satan as the prince of darkness. We have a dark world out here, and many people are blinded to it and do not understand what is happening. Have you tried being careful in the darkness? Have you tried that? Walking in the darkness like a kid come and breaks his curfew and gets home late. And he opens up the door very quietly and he's stepping one step at a time because he knows the house. He knows exactly where to go without the light, he thinks. And he's stepping and going, and but then he trips over the baby car seat. And then after he does that, everything else starts to fall down and the whole house gets into noise and then everybody gets up. It's hard to walk in the darkness, in other words. And that's why we need the light. It is what folks are doing in this ancient time. A lot of folks are saying, you know, I got it made up and I know how I'm going to do it. I know how I'm going to walk it. I know how I'm going to do it. And the walking in this darkness and figuring out life as they go on. And you're tripping over things and causing a lot of problems by the choices that they are making. And but we need to come back to the Word of God because the Word of God brings light. The next thing about this, the power of the light, is light colors creation. Have you noticed that without the light, color have no attraction at all? If we turned off the light in a dark room, you don't see any color. You cannot see anything attractive in a dark room or in the dark. And so the light colors everything. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Not only that our presence put darkness to flight, it should also cause the world to see spiritual beauty and attract an attraction. The question comes back to you and I is, when people see us, what do they see? Do they see God? Do they see enough inside of us that is going to cause them to, you know, try to get attracted to us and want to know a little bit more about us, giving us the opportunity to share our faith with them? It's what the scripture is talking about. The next point I want to talk about is the placement of this light. We talk about the power of the light. Let's talk about the placement of the light. Matthew 5, 14, 15 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and give light to everyone in the house. Now, so in this light, it's so precious and powerful. Since this light is so precious and powerful, how are we to let it be seen? It's the question we need to answer now. All right? The first light he talks about is the light of an institution. It's this institutional light. Look at the phrase, a town built on a hill. All right? This is not referring to a single light, but instead it is referring to many lights. And it is talking about the church. It is talking about us coming together as a body, as a united body. Okay? So it's talking about this city on the hill is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God that is in this world is the city that is on the hill that is shining. It's light, and this light cannot be hid. So just take a picture of this, and imagine driving down the street in the darkness, and from a distance, there are these houses up on the hill with lights, many lights. That's exactly what God is talking about. And folks need to see the light and get attracted to it and long to want to be to where that light is. So we are that city on the hill all coming together because God demonstrates his glory always from the hilltop. Why the hill? Because he demonstrates his glory from the hilltop all the time. We are not seated below, the scripture says, we are seated high. And until we start to see ourselves as people that have been seated high, it's going to be difficult for us to understand our position on this earth. But God has seated us so high. Look, he talks about the city being on the hill, not on the plain, but on the hill. God always demonstrates his glory from the hilltop, as in the case of Abraham on Mount Moriah. He had to go up to sacrifice Isaac. And it was there that God showed forth his glory and gave him a lamb. Moses on Mount Horeb was where he was when he saw the burning bush on fire. And Moses also on Mount Sinai, where he went and received the Ten Commandments, where God showed forth his glory. Elijah, the prophet, on Mount Campbell, where he went and slain the 700 prophets of Baal, where God answered by fire. It was up on that mountain. Jesus, the Mount of Transfiguration, the Mount of Transfiguration where he and the three disciples went when Elijah and Moses showed up and Jesus changed, was transformed before their very eyes. God always shows his glory up on the mountain and on that hill far away where the old rugged cross stood. Jesus showed forth his glory when he died and said, "It is finished." Now God has taken the church and has placed us up on this hill top. And he says that I placed you up here so that you can shine, so that the world can see it. Just yesterday, we were here in Arbutus at the middle school, Arbutus Middle School, celebrating the homegoing of Kayla, the young girl who died 17 years old from Lansdowne High School. And it was such a glorious time as we went there to be a part of that situation and that fellowship time. And the reason we need to do that is because the Bible has called us as the church to grieve with those who are grieving and to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. So we went to do that at that point. So the light, this light is not only an institutional light, but it's also, he's talking about the light of an individual in this text as well. Look at the phrase, light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Light a lamp and put it under a bowl. So now he individualized the lamp. It is not the whole hill anymore, but it is an individual lamp he's talking about. Many times we become shy of letting people know who we are in our places of work, in our schools, in our gatherings. We keep quiet. We don't let people know who we are. We don't start the conversation about God. And so this is exactly what it is. We take our lamp and put it under the bowl. And then Jesus is saying that this is impossible. It is impossible to take a lamp and put it and hide it and hide the light. It is just so impossible to do that. You can't. So for those of us who have been giving faith, for those of us who have the life of Christ radiating inside of us, we cannot hide it. We walk in the streets and we look for opportunity to let it shine. And this is the life that God has called us to. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go, in my neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go. And he's calling you and myself to do the same. And I pray that as we receive this word today, that it'll encourage our hearts and keep us steadfast in our faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, amen.